Lord, we do want to bring you more than songs this morning. We want to worship you, for you are worthy, so worthy of our praise. As we open your word and worship through declaration in this way, but as we open your word, we pray now you would speak to us. Help us to become the worshippers you desire us to be. Amen. So hopefully some of the things that we've been doing this morning have enabled your worship, your praise of God. Whether they've been comfortable or uncomfortable, I don't know. But let's once again just be real. This is difficult, isn't it? You know, I hope that you're not finding that. I hope actually you're all sitting there and going, you know, I'm finding worship in this season really, really easy. But the conversations I'm having, it doesn't seem that many of us are feeling that way. You know, when I talk to my friends across churches, one phrase is just keeps leaping out that they keep saying they hate hearing, but they hear so often. And the phrase is, I just can't worship over live stream. I just can't worship over live stream. Now, you may have said that, I may have said that, or even if we haven't said those particular words, I imagine most of us in the last 9 months have had moments where we feel close to that. Whether we feel like, you know, I struggle to sing with that music. I struggle to worship while looking at my television. I struggle to worship in this season. And there's nothing wrong with feeling like that. But when we're in that place, we do have to be really careful, really careful. And we need to ask ourselves a really difficult and an upsetting question. When we find ourselves in a place where I can't worship like this, or I don't want to worship this, I'm finding it difficult. We need to ask the question, since when has worship been about us? Since when has worship been about me? That song summed it up perfectly. You know, it's all about him. I'm coming back to the heart of worship where it's all about you, Jesus. Worship is all about him. Think what we're saying when we find ourselves in that place. I find this difficult. I don't like the way this song is played. I feel awkward singing at the screen. Those feelings are valid, but they're irrelevant because worship isn't about us. It's about him. It's about us coming to him, bringing our devotion. The word worship literally means to give worth to something. What we're doing when we come to worship is showing God that we think he's worthy. Through our devotion, through our songs, through our love, we are showing him we know who he is, that he is worthy, glorious, awesome. It's not about us. It's about him. It's all about him. And we worship him because he is worthy. What is incredible about worship is the fact that God blesses us through it. It is all about him. It's all for him. And yet, because God is so awesome and so generous, we do find blessing in worship. You know, how many of us can talk about the joy we find when we come to praise him, especially when we're gathered together to praise him with song? How many of us can speak of that joy and that excitement? God blesses us through worship, but that blessing isn't the thing we should be looking for. It's a byproduct of what we should be coming for, which is to worship him, to show him we love him because he deserves it. So this morning, I want to take the opportunity we've been given. As much as this is tough, where we're not able to meet the way we used to, I want to take this opportunity to let's delve into worship. Let's look at how we can move deeper into worship in this season, where things have been taken from us. Let us explore how we can move deeper in our worship in this time, to become more the true worshippers that God desires us to be. You know, in John 4:23, Jesus actually says that God is looking for a particular kind of worshippers. He says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Those are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks, those who worship in spirit and in truth. I mean, so much to unpack there, but let's start with looking at what's going on in this story. Jesus says this in response to talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. Now, we haven't got a lot of time to go into the whole background here, but suffice to say, the Samaritans were kind of looked down on by the Jews. They were kind of like the lost sheep of Israel. They were Israelites that had kind of been mixed with Gentiles. And so they were kind of apart from the Jewish faith. And the Jews saw them as kind of people who worshipped God, but not properly, not in the right way. They'd gotten confused, so they kind of kept them apart. Is a big story kind of shortened as much as possible. So when Jesus is talking to this woman, it's not massively surprising that she turns to worship in the conversation. And she says to him, you know, my ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem at the temple. There's something here that may be a bit confusing to us, but there seems to be a sort of geographical dimension to their worship. The location of their worship matters, which is why it's so amazing that Jesus' response to that comment is there is a time coming, and in fact it's here now, where the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. In response to the proper location of worship, Jesus says, now has come the time where they will worship in spirit and truth. You see, the reason the Jews were so focused on worship in the temple is understandably because God dwelt there. You know, when Solomon built the temple, God dwelt in the most holy part of the temple. In the Holy of Holies, God placed himself there. So it makes sense. If you want to worship God, go to where he is. Oh, by this point in Jesus' day, God's presence has left the temple. But still, they're like, go to where God's house is. Jesus, honestly, here is not saying anything different, which is what is incredible, because he's saying a time has come where if you want to go to worship God, go to where he is. But it's no longer the temple. It's right here. Right now, you have the Spirit of the living God living in you. So if you want to go to worship God, go to where he is. He's right with you by his Spirit. He is right with us. We don't need this building. We don't need to come here to worship. We don't need to come together even. It's good to, but we don't need to, because we have the person that we want to worship right with us wherever we are. You can worship wherever you are this morning. And what is incredible is not only is the person you want to worship with you right now, but the Holy Spirit enables our worship. He encourages our worship. He inspires our worship. He helps us to worship, that we might be the worshippers that God seeks us to be. I want to look this morning at how we can worship in this time, how we can move deeper in our worship in this time. But how do we worship in spirit and truth? I don't know that I can answer that for you, because how you worship, how the Spirit prompts you to worship, that's as unique to you as your relationship with God is. I can't tell you what that looks like for you, but what I want to do this morning is explore how we might intentionally move deeper in worship, especially in this difficult time. I want to say that one way to do this is to reframe worship and to look at it as a spiritual discipline. Now, I know a lot of people react badly when you say discipline. Maybe a better word is exercise. You know, a spiritual exercise, which gets across a really good understanding of something we do to build up muscle. But again, the worry is that becomes too much about us. This is a discipline. It's something we do for God. But as always, because God is so amazing, as we do something for God, he blesses us. But let's look at worship as a discipline. You know, Richard Foster, in a great book, Celebration of Discipline, if you haven't read it, I really encourage you to read it. It's incredible. Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And he talks about all the disciplines and the discipline of worship. And he says this: the disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. God has ordained the disciplines of the spiritual life as the means by which we place ourselves before him so that he can bless us. In worship, we want to come before God because he is worthy. We want to tell him all the wonderful things he is and show him that we think he's worthy. But in doing that, he blesses us. He transforms us. So how can we intentionally bring ourselves to that place? Now, let me be clear, with all these disciplines, this isn't some magic formula to make God do something. He is God. He does what he wants. And he can do things with us or despite us. But if we are intentional, if we choose, we can place ourselves before him So how can we do that? How can we engage in this discipline of worship? What can we do right now to deepen our experience of worship and deepen our ability to worship God? I want to give us a few steps that we find in various places in Scripture. We're going to be jumping around a bit today. The first is to practice the presence of God. That sounds really fancy, practice the presence of God. Actually, it's basically just taking John 4, 30, whatever we just read, 32, serious, 23, seriously. It's just taking that seriously to recognize that worship isn't just about meeting together on a Sunday morning, whether it is physically or whether it is like this. Worship is not just about that. Worship is about living. It can happen anywhere and anytime because God himself is with us all the time. We might immediately, as Emma said, initially our thoughts will go straight to singing together as worship. But we have to move beyond that idea. For many of us, we know this, but yet we still fall into that definition. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, in Christ Jesus." What Paul is describing to the Thessalonians here is a worshipful life, a life filled with worship at every moment. He doesn't say, right, guys, rejoice on Sundays, pray on Sunday morning, and give thanks whenever you're told to. Instead, he paints a picture of a life filled with worship, where every moment is punctuated with whispers of thanks and adoration. A life where God is not confined to a single day and a single moment, but is recognized as being present all the time and deserving of praise for the huge things in our lives and for the small things. At the moment, our daughter Serenity is obsessed with this book she calls the Eric book. And it's a book about a little boy named Eric who has some toast for breakfast. And he enjoys it so much that he then spends all day trying to find who to thank for the toast. So he first goes to his mum and she says, well, yeah, that's great, but thank the baker. The baker then sends him to the delivery guy. The delivery guy sends him to the miller, and the miller sends him to the farmer. And then Farmer Pete finally says, it's God you've got to thank. And so that's what he does. Oh, sorry, I should have probably given you a spoiler alert if you're only halfway through. but anyway, it's a wonderful little story that rhymes as well. So it's always a good story if it rhymes. But what I love about it is it reminds me that I can thank God for toast. That actually I should be thanking God for toast. You know, it shouldn't really come as a surprise. Jesus tells us to thank God for our daily bread. But it's the little things. God is deserving of praise over a wonderful bit of toast. He's deserving of praise for the smallest things in our lives, those moments of beauty that we discover. He's worthy of praise for those tiny things as well as the huge things. And if I really thought about it, if I really recognized how much God was deserving of praise, I'd be doing it all day. For toast, for fruit, definitely for the amount of chocolate I eat. All these different things. It's all food, I realize I've just gone for, but there are many things in our life, tiny things that we can thank God for. If we practice the presence of God, we can thank him in that moment. But what's beautiful about this is what we're doing is, once again, we're praising him for what he's done, and he's blessing us. Because while we are praising him for toast, for these wonderful little moments, what we're also doing is reminding ourselves he's with us. He's right here. Practicing the presence of God is about recognizing his nearness in all things, his activity in all things, and giving him praise and thanks. Can we practice the presence of God? Maybe that would help us in our worship in this season. Another thing that may help us to move deeper in worship is to seek and to engage with different expressions of worship. You know, we've tried that a little bit this morning, and some of them may have worked for you amazingly, and some of them may not have at all. And here's where we have to come back to again. But the truth is, it's not about us. The question should never be, how do I want to worship God today? The question should always be, God, how do you want me to worship you today? And the truth is, the answer to that question isn't always going to be to our liking. Sometimes the worship he wants from us is worship that we don't enjoy giving. You know, in a very slightly similar way, let me be very clear. I love playing games. I love playing board games, especially. I just think there's something incredible about them. Narelle, my wife, however, does not. But every now and again, she'll say, do you want to play a game? And I know she doesn't want to, but I know she's doing it for me. That she's choosing to play a game because she loves me. And there's something even more precious about those moments because of that. In a similar but very different way. You know, what if we worship God in ways we don't like, but we know he does? Isn't there something precious about that? And who knows, maybe we'll find an expression of worship that actually expresses better what we're looking to tell him, expresses better our adoration and our worship of him. You know, there are so many different ways that we see in Scripture and outside of Scripture to worship God. Through singing, through dancing, through declaring, through listening, through liturgy, through art, through praying through the Psalms. You know, we could go on and on and on. There are too many expressions to list right now. But maybe in this season where our traditional ones are taken from us, maybe we should explore what else is out there. Other ways to give praise to God. Another way in which we might deepen our worship. And honestly, this is the long one. This is the one that I think is really challenged me, is to prepare ourselves for worship. Prepare ourselves especially for gathering to worship. You know, we used to have the journey to church, didn't we? To prepare ourselves. To think, oh, I'm gonna be here today. I'm gonna stand amongst God's people. I'm gonna praise him and I'm gonna hear from him in the sermon. And I'm going to meet with his people. We had that journey to remind us of those things, and now we don't. Now, sometimes, honestly, we can turn up at 31 minutes past 10 and be just about in time for the service. We've lost that time to prepare, but actually probably even that time where we came wasn't enough. We should really be preparing ourselves for worship, because think about what we are doing here. We are gathering as brothers and sisters to stand before the living God, to tell him how amazing he is, and then to hear from him through his word, through the songs that have been written in praise of him, through prayer, through declaration, we have come to praise and worship him and to hear from him. It's too easy to forget, but if we were to prepare ourselves for gathering in worship, would we be able to remember this? You know, let's be honest with ourselves. I've done it as well. Sometimes these days we turn up dead on half past, but how often are we actually ready to worship in that moment? How much is stuff still crowding in from the day, from the week? You know, and I know plenty of people have children at home and there are other pressures that mean that perhaps you can't spend the first half an hour where the notices are playing, sitting and just getting yourself ready. But there's the night before. There is time for us to prepare our hearts to come and praise him, to come and listen to him. Do we even ever ask ourselves the question, am I ready to worship this morning? Because what would our time together be like? What would our time gathered like this be like if instead of just turning up dead on time because we're very busy, we actually came earlier and we brought the service before the Lord before we started? We brought the preacher and the worship leader and all those that are involved before the Lord. We brought our brothers and sisters who are at home before him in prayer. What if we sat and became and prayed expectantly of what he's going to do amongst us through these services in the morning? What if we prepared for worship? You know, I have a confession to make at this point to you. It has recently been brought to my attention how many people, I mean, detest is a strong word, but detest the song in the countdown before the service starts. I didn't know. I love it. And I put my hands up. I am the reason it has happened to stay for so long. And I now ask for your forgiveness. But can I share with you why it stayed for so long? Why it was very precious to me? Because whenever that song started, as soon as those first bits of music started, my daughter would jump up from whatever she was doing and she would just go, church! And she'd start dancing around to the music and listing all the people that she was excited she might see on the live stream. And I didn't want to lose that. I also didn't want to lose what it did to me in thinking, this is what I should be like. This is how I should prepare for church. This is how I should come to church with joy. That I'm about to gather with my brothers and sisters with expectation, not necessarily of who I'm going to see on the stream, but the expectation that I'm about to meet with the living God again and hear from him. It was an inspiration to me. I didn't want to lose it. So forgive me we will get rid of it. We'll try something else. But I hope we can begin to prepare ourselves for worship, prepare ourselves that we might join together in joy. We might join together expectant. And I think this is so, so important, because preparing ourselves for gathering together like this, it also fights what I think what is one of the biggest dangers of this season, the biggest dangers of honestly our live streaming, that we will become consumers. It's too easy that we might become consumers of church rather than participants. You know, let's be honest, it's even natural. We watch things on the TV all the time. We watch things on screen all the time. And even we're encouraged to rate them, to think about it, to pass judgment on it. How many times do you finish a film with somebody and turn to them and say, well, that was good, wasn't it? Or that was terrible. We're encouraged to do that. And with entertainment, that's absolutely fine. But with church, this isn't a performance. This isn't entertainment. You're probably sitting there going, you're telling me. But this isn't. This is something we're meant to participate in. Something we're not meant to consume and have done at us, but something we're meant to join in with. If we prepare ourselves and remind ourselves with that in our preparation, how different will our experience of gathered worship be? How greater might our worship to God be if we recognize our participation in what he's doing, rather than just consuming it? We need to prepare ourselves to gather for worship in this season especially. The fourth thing that might take us deeper into this discipline of worship, now don't worry, that was the long one, they're not all that long, is to absorb distractions with gratitude. Now I know that is difficult. You know, we have as I've said a number of times today, we have a two-year-old at home. Distraction is the name of the game on a Sunday morning. That is all she wants to do, and all we want to do is distract her so we can engage with the service. But what if instead of getting frustrated with the distractions we face at home, what if instead of getting frustrated and angry with these distractions, instead we absorbed them and used them to praise God, used them in our worship? You know, what if when the phone rings in the middle of the service, rather than getting angry, we bless whoever has just phoned us? What if, while the toddler's running around and shouting about the highway rat, instead of getting annoyed and telling her to be quiet, we thank God for the blessing that she is? What if we thank God for his creation as the cat knocks another ornament off of the mantelpiece? These might all be very specific to me, but what if we, instead of getting angry and frustrated and taking away from our worship of God, we instead found a thing to praise him for? We use them as his leading in how to worship him, how to praise and adore him in that moment. What if we absorb the distractions of our lives, not just in gathered worship? What if we absorb those distractions and use them as worship? A final step. We've had praying. We have had engaging with the presence of God. I've forgotten the exact words. We have had practicing the presence of God. You know, for exploring other forms of worship, preparing for worship, absorbing distractions and using them in worship. But this final one is one that is so important in this season. Let's learn to offer a sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13, it mentions offering a sacrifice of praise, but truthfully, we see it throughout Scripture. People who, great heroes of our faith, who praise despite dire circumstances. David, who praises and worships God after the loss of his son. Job, who praises God in a roundabout way, but still praises God in the midst of the storm that he faces. Paul and Silas, as they're whipped and then put in prison, and still they praise God from their prison cell. They offer a sacrifice of praise. Are we to think that in these moments, these guys felt like praising? No, guaranteed they didn't. But still, they offered a sacrifice of praise. They praised despite their circumstances. They praised, and it cost them to praise. It wasn't something that they were looking to do, or something they felt like doing, but they did it because it wasn't about them. It wasn't about their circumstances. It was about the one they were worshiping and the fact that he is worthy of praise in all circumstances. We need to learn to offer a sacrifice of praise. Praise when we don't feel like it, because he deserves it. And you might feel like you've been offering a sacrifice of praise for the last 9 months. And if you are, can I just encourage you, keep going. Keep going. He is worthy. He is deserving. You know, I keep thinking about the legacy of this time, this coronavirus pandemic. And I think about it in terms of the legacy of the world and in personal ways, like how precious the blessing song will be to me forever because of this season. But I've been thinking about what is the legacy that this will leave on God's church. It's wonderful that it has led us to a place of being able to live stream, of moving forward technology in an incredibly quick time. But what will be the legacy of this time? For future generations, I pray and I hope that we will, as the whole church, will be the true worshippers that God seeks. That we will perhaps explore beyond what has been and learn more and more what it means to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because those are the worshippers that God seeks. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are so glorious, so incredible. We thank you for what you have done for us, that you would send your son to die for us, that you would place yourself on that cross for us, that you would defeat death for us, that you would come looking for us, that you would send your spirit to dwell in us and make us your temple. We thank you for all that you have done, but we thank you just because of who you are. We want to worship you, Lord. In this season, you know our hearts are struggling at times, but we want to declare this morning, you are still worthy, and we want to worship you. Help us to recognize your nearness. Help us to engage in acts of worship that aren't our style, but just bring praise and glory to you. Help us to absorb distractions and use them to praise you. Help us to prepare to be together. Help us, Lord, to offer sacrifice of praise. Help us to be the true worshipers you desire, who worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm going to pass to Toby, who's going to lead us in another act of worship as we engage with symbolic action.